Hello, I'm Dr. Lou Condor, technical communicator, writer, editor, and adjunct lecturer at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Welcome to C Cubed, Clear, Concise Communication. This is the podcast for the information design course. In this class, we discuss document design, layout, graphics, and usability in technical documentation. Let me talk a little bit about culture and meaning in this podcast. First, let's talk about culture. Design is influenced by cultural conventions. Now, within cultural conventions are user expectations. What are they thinking they're going to get with the document? What do they see? How do they interpret it? So then you think, how objects appear on the page. Does it make sense? In the other class, I talked about are the proximity of graphics to a step-by-step procedure. This is really important because that's an expectation of most users. It's basically a global expectation. So it's something to keep in mind. You don't want to do a bunch of description and then try to do a one-size-fits-all graphic and have number one here and number five here, because people aren't going to go back and forth, especially if it falls on another page. They will not go back and forth. You will have failed at the document. So you really want to keep your images in a step-by-step instructional document near what your image is. So the image has to be near the instructions. This should be true for all documents. If you're talking about something and then 10 pages later have a chart on it, people are not going to know to look, and they may not comprehend. They may even quit reading at that point before they hit the graphic. So that's why it's important to keep your graphics near where you're discussing whatever it is that the graphic is about. Keep in mind cultural factors while designing documents, knowing your audience and knowing your own cultural background. So what is your own cultural background? What makes you different? And how do you want to approach your document for your client? The background of those you are writing for is really important, because if they don't understand what you're doing, you've just lowered readability. Viewing text and pages, main modes of document viewing. You want to skim, scan, and read. Remember we talked about that previously? Well, those modes are really important. Skimming is just getting an overview of the document. Scanning is looking for something specific in the document, while reading is reading the whole document, going through it as a whole. And these are generally the main modes. We know there's other modes, but these are the main modes that a user will apply to a technical document. Let's talk a little bit about meaning. That is how you arrange the text and the graphics in the document. Like I said, you want the graphics near what you're explaining, but you also want to label your graphics. So there's a reassurance to the reader that that is what that graphic's about. You don't ever want your reader to guess. Page design. So in that, we want to make sure that the textual content of the document works for the subject. And in the page design, is there an order and a logic to it? What are the relationship among design objects? Well, in this meaning, we're looking at connection, hierarchy, sequence, and balance. You can kind of think about that and what it means. Connection, are each item in the document connected, and do they need to be there? Hierarchy, are they in the right order? Sequence, we want to make sure things we put in a document are in the right sequence. We want to make sure if things are numbered that they are in the right order, so that there's a reason and the user doesn't have to try to interpret anything. They have it. They can apply the steps, create the process, and get the required results. Balance. You want to make sure that there's not big chunks of white space or everything's too crowded to the edge of the frame of the document. That way, you could have issues. The reader won't be able to follow it, or the things look appear to that they jump around. When there's too much white space, things appear to jump around and they have to turn a lot of pages. It's not a good thing. So let's talk a little bit about power zones and negative space. It's how we get the best emphasis in page design. There's been a lot of studies out there on power zones. It's why the web is developed the way it has for hundreds of years, whether it was print or now it's web, to to show areas where the eye naturally goes to. So objects are placed in zones in a document or on a page. What they do is it adds greater interest. The eye naturally goes to a certain area on a page, and there's more emphasis. So the things that we want to emphasize go in those power zones. The strongest point of emphasis, the top left of a page. We see different points of emphasis today that people are trying to enforce, but if you have something at the bottom of the document, you just know it's definitely not the best power zone. Put critical design components in the power zone. We know this from web navigation. We want to do that. The never-ending scrolling pages are not very successful where a user can't jump to exactly what they want. They've gotten used to the convention. It's okay for just a design page where you're not really moving anything, but if you have a page that's just one long scrolling page with no links to get to the point you want to, that's very difficult. And so even in a web document, you want to have the right links at the top bar, which is a power zone, and when those menus come down, you want to have the right descriptors to take a user to where they need to go. Avoid placing unimportant information in the power zone. You don't want to place things in the power zone that really don't matter, like a copyright. Yes, they matter, but they just have to be on the page. The user's not going to read it, and quite frankly, they're not going to care. So you want to make sure that you sort of look at documents and you can get an idea about what standards are for documents. Consider placing navigational tools in the power zone. Like I said, even in Blackboard, you'll look on the left web bar, which is another power zone, you will see all the links there. Websites have links there and on top. As long as it's in one of the power zones, it's really helpful. Now I have a graphic in the handout and you can see where the power zone is. Think of it like an upside down L with the body of the L on the left side of the page. Negative space. Let's talk a little bit about negative space. It has a specific function. It regulates the proximity of design objects. Think of negative space as if you have a white piece of paper and you have type on the paper and you have graphics. Wherever there's no graphics or no text, that's negative space. Depending on where the object is in relation to the text, it really matters. You want to draw attention to important aspects of design, you can use white space. To do that, you can add a little more white space, a little less crowding, but adding the white space can really emphasize a graphic if it's super important. Plan your grid layout. How is a separation between grid fields as well as the edges of the page useful? In print, you don't want your document to go to the edges of the pages, because even on every ordinary printer in every office, you cannot print out and have it go to the edge. It'll just disappear. You can use some of that white space or even separators. Like if you plan a grid, you can have two columns like a newspaper or four columns. You have to debate whether you want things crowded or you want space. So that's one of the things to look at. And a lot of documents go in single column. You may have a little extra white space around or negative space around a graphic for emphasis. Developing a grid for each page is a good idea, but remember again, we want some sort of continuity. So it provides a consistent page design. So if you're using one column, pretty much stick with that through the whole document. If you're using two columns, stick with that. Now, each rectangular area in a grid is called a grid field, and fields are arranged into columns. Negative space between the grid field is called the gutter. All of this comes from print. You never thought you'd have to need to know a little bit about print, but it really does, because if you're having a conversation and you're designing a document and you're talking to other designers, they will know these terms. And you'll see grid patterns used a lot on the web, especially like news outlets and those type of things will use grid patterns to maximize the amount of material they can put on and still keep it readable. So design a grid for a document to accommodate every kind of content you're going to put in that document, and then you will have a successful grid pattern. I hope you have a great rest of the week. That's it for this podcast. Thank you for joining me. Music for this recording was supplied by Dano Songs Royalty Free Music at www.danosongs.com. Copyright 2018.